Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. We've been talking a lot about GMOs, genetically modified organisms, this week, and so have you. And we've been asking you, what do you really look at when you stop and read a food label?
This is Erin from Louisville, and the thing I read is the ingredients list. I go for things with few ingredients I can pronounce, ingredients that aren't other words for sugar.
Nick Dimitrov on Facebook tells us, I look at volume and weight, price per what? Very, very important. And expiration date. I'm on a low budget, so volumes are important. Well, as it turns out, the next big debate over genetically modified foods in this country centers mostly where it has always been, labeling, and whether consumers have a right to know exactly what's in their food. Major food makers like Coke and biotech giants like Monsanto and DuPont are determined to stop mandatory labeling on GMO foods in grocery stores. So much so that they've spent more than $27 million in the last 6 months of this year on GMO-related lobbying. And that's roughly three times their spending of 2013. Carrie Gillum is national correspondent covering food and agriculture for Reuters. She's been following the GMO debate for 16 years, almost since its inception. And she joins me now. Carrie, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
Well, the fight over labeling GMO foods is nothing new, but this latest battle seems to have come from Vermont, right?
Yeah, there was a GMO labeling law that was signed by the governor there in May.
And that's mandatory labeling. Anybody who has GMO ingredients in food has to slap it on the label.
Has to slap it on the label if it's sold in Vermont.
Well, yeah. How could you have a problem with that?
It seems like a lot of people do.
All right. A lot of people do for sure, including big companies like Monsanto, DuPont, Coca-Cola, and others. What's been the reaction from big corporations about little tiny Vermont's law that says people in the grocery store have to know if it's GMO?
Well, of course, they have filed suit. They promised that they would if the law passed. And in June, they filed a lawsuit to try to block the law's enactment. And so that litigation is going on, and who knows how long that will take. Vermont is trying to raise money to defend the law, and has raised over $1 million so far, but it looks like a long battle ahead there.
Now, Vermont is just the tip of the iceberg. There are lots of other states that have ballot initiatives and proposed laws themselves.
That's true. This November, Colorado, there will be a ballot initiative for voters in Colorado, and Oregon, of course, also will have this issue on the ballot there.
Well, what's at stake for these big companies? We mentioned a tripling in spending. You've detailed that in some of your reports. It's a lot of money they're spending at the state and the federal level. What's at stake for the big food giants?
Well, the food giants really say that this will cause chaos in the marketplace. And, you know, this is going to add costs for consumers, significant costs. They say it will create all sorts of confusion. They essentially would have to label then all of their products sold all throughout the United States, because it doesn't make sense with the distribution chain the way it is to obviously just label things state by state. The supporters of labeling counter that it would just, you know, be fractions of pennies, in terms of just putting one more piece of information onto these food products. And they claim that consumers have the right to know, and this is important information, and there should be no reason that companies should want to hide it.
So the companies say, we use corn from all over America. It's all mixed up. It goes into a melange and we make products. It's too hard for us to label individual products, and it's going to drive consumers to where? To our competitors out of the grocery store?
They think that there would be a negative connotation, right, to having a label that says, you know, made with, you know, ingredients containing genetically modified organisms. And they think it might drive consumers more to organics, to natural food products. There has been a shift in consumer spending driving increases in organics.
And one of the big arguments from the food giants in front of the FDA and the USDA and other places is that despite consumer concern, or maybe concern from consumer groups, there's never been any evidence that GMOs are harmful to anyone's health or carcinogenic or dangerous in any way. So why cause undue concern about something that's never been shown to be dangerous.
Yeah, that is very definitely their position and their argument. The people on the other side say, well, most of the scientific studies that have been done have been funded by the companies that are selling these products. There is no mandatory safety testing required by the Food and Drug Administration, and there never has been since these products were introduced to the marketplace.
So, Carrie Gillum of Reuters, as the debate is heated up again, as we mentioned, the lobbying budgets of these food giants on this issue has tripled. Where is the money going? There are the state ballot initiatives, but what do they want? They want to block these laws, and what else?
The money that we were talking about is indeed the money that is spent on the lobbying at the federal level. There is federal legislation that would block any state labeling, and they are really putting their money into trying to sell that piece of legislation at the federal level. Of course, they also are spending money on campaigns in Oregon and Colorado to try to convince consumers that it would be bad to vote for mandatory labeling in November. And then we have the, you know, legal battle going on in Vermont to try to block the law there. And there's lobbying basically in, you know, more than 20 states right now as different lawmakers and different consumer groups in different states look at their own labeling measures.
And aside from disclosed lobbying, you know, one of the things that we saw over the last decades when it comes to climate change are big companies, fossil fuel companies and others, hosting conferences, really getting involved in the scientific community to try to sow the seeds of doubt about any data on climate change. Does that kind of effort take place in the GMO world as well, sort of on the pre-media scientific level?
Well, yes, definitely. The companies are very involved in, you know, universities funding different grants for different programs and things like that. They also last year really decided that they needed to have a more direct relationship with consumers and launched a whole multimedia campaign and a website called GMO Answers. And they're pushing that. They're going out on speaking tours to schools and just really trying to make consumers more comfortable in their view about what they say is the safety of genetically modified organisms.
If all these things that the companies are saying are true, you can have confidence in GMOs, they're safe, there's nothing to see here, they're good because they increase crop yields and there's no reason to be concerned, why not talk about them on labels? If they're safe, why not just talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, I've asked them that very same question, and a lot of people have, you know, and a lot of people have suggested that they need to go ahead and just be proactive and put the label on there and not act like it's something that people need to be afraid of. And they have just said they cannot do that, that it is misleading to put a label on there because it does make it look like there's something to be afraid of, and they're not going to do it.
Carrie Gillum, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.